I'm from the north. I can talk fast. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. If you haven't found Psalm 107 fast enough, you can turn to Psalm 118, 1, or Psalm 118, 29, or Psalm 136, verse 1. Or if you still haven't found that, haven't found Psalms, 1 Chronicles 16:34. They all say exactly the same thing. And we're going to be looking at, he looked at grace, we're going to be looking at mercy. And all these verses I mentioned have the exact word-for-word verse. The first one, some of you are lost, is Psalm 107, verse 1. And the Word of God says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And what a verse. I don't believe God is forgetful. I don't believe God accidentally put this same verse in the Bible. He put the verse in the Bible six or five times. And there's actually a couple other variations of it. But exact word for word, five different times in the Word of God. God is trying to get something across, and that is mercy. And all of us need mercy. We're going to look at three quick things tonight, and I'm going to have a harder time than him, I think. First of all, we're going to look at the scriptural definition of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy simply, and I've heard it so many times, and it's as biblical as it gets, is not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. I want you to notice something about this verse. It says, "His mercy endureth forever." And those are two absolute divine attributes of mercy. And that is, it endureth. That means it proclaims God's patience. That means God's mercy. That's not getting what we deserve. It's God's mercy. God, if I was God, which I'm not, thank God. If I was God, I probably would have popped off everybody's head by now, including my own, because I have zero patience. My wife laughed so hard when you told me to preach on mercy, and she just thought that was so funny. But you know, I don't have very much patience. I don't know if it's just a guy thing or what, especially when I drive. Just so many things get me impatient. But you know what mercy absolutely has to have? It has to have patience. Amen. And God says His mercy endureth. That means when we are falling away from God, when we fall and fall and fall and sin and sin and sin, God's mercy endureth. But not only does it endureth, it says it's forever. And it being everlasting proves God's promise. God promises us, and we looked at it this morning, but God promises that once we trust Christ as Savior, He will keep us. He will hold on to us. And His mercy, when He saves us from hell, His mercy endureth forever. That's His mercy. You know, if we fall from grace, as some of the people say, if we fall from grace, God's mercy still endureth forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God is merciful. But I think there's another aspect to grace that we sometimes fail to see, and especially the New Evangelical Movement. In American Tract Society Dictionary, it defines grace as this: the divine goodness exercised towards the wretched and the guilty. Listen to this. In harmony with truth and justice. In harmony with truth and justice. Psalm 85:10 says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." The Word of God teaches us that God is merciful. But listen, God also is just. Amen. God is righteous. God is truth. And in churches today, you hear the blessings of God, but we don't hear the cursings of God. God is merciful, but also He's true. God is a God of love, as it says in 1 John. But in Micah, the Bible tells us God is a God of judgment. They are both met together. And so we see the scriptural definition of mercy. It is not getting what we deserve. But I want you to see, secondly, the Savior's demonstration of mercy. We see Jesus Christ being the most merciful of all merciful. You see it in His cross that He bore on the Calvary. In Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He showed the greatest mercy any man has ever shown. That a worthless sinner as I, a worthless sinner as Chris, a worthless sinner as all of us, Jesus Christ would die for us. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Some of you are still laughing about that, aren't you? So you think that's funny. But Jesus Christ is merciful. And when He died on the cross, When he paid for our sins, Jesus Christ showed and demonstrated his mercy. And I think it's fitting to say, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Amen. You know, we need to realize what God did for us on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Amen. And when we think on that and we dwell on the mercy and goodness of God, Romans said it will lead us to repentance. The Word of God says we won't faint. We won't quit. So many Christians, they complain about their situation. They complain about the heartaches, and they quit on God. And I believe the reason is because they don't realize the mercy of God and the goodness of God. You know, if every single Christian in this room got nothing good about, nothing else good about happened to them in their entire lives, I mean, everything went wrong. Your health breaks down. Your wealth breaks down. Everything about your life breaks down like Job of old. We should still realize God's mercy and grace is so good to us. Anything less or anything more than hell is wonderful. Because you just think about, we deserve hell. And just for us just to have be able to go to heaven, the cross demonstrated Christ's mercy. But also, not only his cross, but his compassion. In Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Amen. And now this is something that I think we need to get a hold of. Many a man have cried and cried to Christ in his lifetime. And I was typing in these words in my search, and it said, "Have mercy upon me." And you see so many times, especially in the gospel according to Matthew, dozens of accounts. I believe it was a little over 12 accounts of where people looked at Jesus Christ on earth and said, "Have mercy on me, Son of God. Heal me from this blindness. Heal my daughter. Heal my servant. Heal my son. God, would you have mercy upon me?" And God did. Amen. Jesus Christ's compassion caused him to forgive. And Jesus Christ's compassion caused him to heal. But you know what? Today we have mercy of God. Look at David. What did he say when he fell into sin? "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sins, my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." God will have mercy when we fall. You know, it reminds me of that song. What sins are you talking about? I love that song. I remember there was a time in Bible college where I just fell, and I felt like whenever I would confess my sin before God, I felt like God wasn't forgiving me. I felt like no matter, I've committed the same stinking sin one too many times, and you know, I was about ready to kill myself. I mean, not literally, but I was just like, you know, this is just not right. I am such an idiot. I am so sinful, so wicked. I can't even get by this one sin. I ask for forgiveness. The next day, I end up doing the same sin, and it seemed like I just kept confessing and kept confessing and kept confessing, and I just thought God's mercy isn't good enough. But I heard those words when I remember the day when I was bent low with burden of sin and strife. Then Jesus came in and rescued me and gave me a brand new life. Amen. Each time that I bow to give him thanks for washing my sins away, I can almost hear him say, "What sins are you talking about? What sins are you talking about? I will remember them no more." Jesus Christ, when we come to him and we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's a multitude of his mercy. Amen. Christ demonstrates his mercy on a daily basis. They are new every morning because of his compassion. But I want us, lastly, to turn it on us. And I want us to see the saints' demand to have mercy. Jesus Christ didn't just demonstrate his mercy. He wants us to demonstrate our mercy. The Bible tells us, Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful. God wants us as Christians to be merciful. And I think we're not. I know I'm not. I know that in my attitudes and in my actions, I'm not merciful. You know what? You know what the telltale signs of a true merciful Christian is? Several things in their attitudes. Mercy demands patience. Mercy demands compassion. I knew you'd like that. Mercy demands patience. It demands compassion. A merciful Christian is one that's a patient Christian, that it's a compassionate Christian. Somebody that's not so quick to cut people down, not so quick to just be bitter, not so quick to just criticize, not so quick just to be unforgiving. The Word of God teaches us that mercy demands patience and compassion. Merciful attitudes, but merciful actions. Mercy is demonstrated by sacrifice and forgiveness. Think about what Jesus Christ did. To prove His mercy, He sacrificed His self on the cross. And we, a Christian that is merciful, is a Christian that's willing to go out of their way to help others. A Christian that's able to, that would be willing to take the extra mile instead of walking up to that Christian that's suffering and saying, God bless you, I'll pray for you. How about you put a little money in their hand if they're struggling that way? Compassion takes, mercy takes sacrifice, but it also takes forgiveness. And I think Christians are way too bitter. We don't forgive. And God, and when you just think about us, how much we have sinned. There hasn't been a person that's been sinned against, so much so as we've sinned against God. If you think of what the person in your life that has hurt you and caused so much pain and has just done tons of infliction on your life, you can't even imagine what we did to God, and yet He had mercy upon us. Amen. And if Christ can have mercy on us, why can't we have mercy upon others? Amen. For He shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. That's what God says. You have no mercy on others, He'll have no mercy on you. You have no patience, no compassion. You don't sacrifice. You don't forgive. What does God say? I'm merciful to those that are merciful. And I will execute judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy. I don't know about you, but I want God to be merciful to me. So as Christians, we need to work on this mercy. Scriptural definition of mercy is not getting what you deserve. Saviors demonstrated are His mercy on the cross and by His compassions. And our demand to be merciful is in our attitudes and actions. Let's pray and let's ask God for His divine enablement, His grace to be merciful. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for Your mercy and Your compassion and Your grace. Thank You, God, for the opportunity to serve You. Would You help us, God, to be merciful as You are merciful? We pray this in Your name. Amen.